Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when you know for a fact how a recent event ended only to go back to revisit the scene to find the memory to be completely impossible? Was it a time slip? That's what we discussed today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you can, if it's doable, supporting our program and keeping it on the air is greatly appreciated. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to do that. For that $5 a month, to get access to our archive of almost 300 EPP bonus episodes. We put brand new ones out every single week, along with a whole bunch of other content, advanced episodes, and so much more. And that $5 is what keeps this ship afloat, because this is our job. 100% our job. Yep. So if you want to help out and keep this thing going, please do check that out and support us. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi. And how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. It is the 23rd of March, right? January, February, March. That's how it goes.
23rd of March, 2020.
That's the date of this recording, the date of this airing, sometime in April. So I have no idea what's going on in the future. But as of right now, we're kind of settling in to the let's stay at home.
Yeah.
Feel.
Recap of today's highlights.
You want to do it?
National Guard's moving into New York, Washington State, and California. So far, the stock market has lost 30% of its value from the time this all started.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. The Surgeon General came out today and said this week is going to be bad.
So that's our happy week so far.
And that's all we're going to talk about as far as coronavirus goes. That is it. This is just kind of a digital timestamp of where the world is, what's going on right now.
And that's that. So what we're going to try and do is continue to give you guys an escape. And as we do these shows, we'll give you a little timestamp so you know where the world is as of the day we're recording. And then move into let's think about other shit.
Yeah.
That's not to do with that. So you can rely on us for that. Please, if you're not already, press subscribe. Maybe you're just finding us online. Press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. We're giving you ghost stories as much as humanly possible. By the time this airs, it might even be up to 7 days a week as far as content that we're pushing out there for you.
Right.
So, yeah, please do that. And we will do our part to try and be a lovely distraction with ghost stories. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to a story, and it starts out, says, "Hey guys, I want to start by thanking you for playing my story. It was the headline of the episode about watching The Conjuring and experiencing paranormal after effects. It was super cool to hear Tony read it. Anyway, my story is what I believe to be something paranormal, but to be honest, I'm not entirely sure. I was hoping to get some input or see if anyone else has had experiences along the same lines. To start, my family and I were about to embark on our usual yearly family trip, this time to beautiful Hawaii. We were so excited to finally be going after months of waiting. Get to the airport, we park, remember getting out and walking to this concrete railing that you could stand in front of to see into another parking garage and the surrounding airport. This comes into play a little later. We grab our luggage and start walking towards the elevator, which was close to where we parked the car. The elevator was cool, even though I hate elevators, weird phobia. It had lights, and I felt a little more comfortable knowing I could see my surroundings. Fast forward 8 days, we go to Hawaii and have an amazing time, as one would expect. The drinks, the food, everything was delightful. Our flight back to San Francisco, where we flew from, was not great, though. There was turbulence, it was uncomfortable, and my mom decided it would be a great idea to get a night flight. We get back to the airport, and this is where the night gets weird. We cannot for the life of us remember the number of the bus we took on the way into the airport, which area it was in, or any of that. At this point, it's around 3 a.m., after searching for what felt like hours, we finally find the bus stop, which takes us to the right area. Yes, at last, we go home. Go into the parking garage right up to the third level where our car was and start walking to where we parked. To our surprise, there was another car there. We searched everywhere in that parking lot for our car. Every level, every spot. Had it gotten stolen? I stand right where I had remembered looking, out into the other parking garage, tell my mom this is where it was. I stood right here and looked out from this rail. We then thought, well, maybe we parked in the other garage, which would be impossible seeing as we tracked our steps through this garage where we distinctly remember every detail about. We walk into the other structure and it was an ugly green, something surely I would have remembered. No glass elevator, but an old sketchy-looking silver one. No nice concrete edging to look out from. Everything was completely unrecognizable to any of us. We looked and searched and waited for another 3 hours until my mom located airport security to help us try and find it. The car was in that other green parking structure where none of us had a memory of ever being. Did we go through some sort of weird time blip that made us think we parked somewhere we didn't? Or had a memory of a place we could never have been at? My family and I still talk about it to this day, and I have no other explanation. Sorry for such a long story. Thank you for an awesome podcast and for helping me through my work days for over a year now. Love, Maddie from California."
I have no explanation for that, especially since they all remembered it being in that first parking garage and not the weird green one with the different view and completely different spot. I mean, it's hard to remember where your car is in a parking garage, but when it's an ugly color that, you know, would stand out, you would kind of be like, oh yeah, I remember this.
And especially when you distinctly remember events along the lines of what happened, you know, when you got out of the car, what you walked by. It's not just it's a parking garage. Maybe I'm mistaken it.
Yeah.
When you get to those very specific details, you think there must be something else going on here. Do you think it got moved?
That's the only logical thing.
Yeah.
But why would they move it? And how could they move it, you know, without it being like neutral?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, obviously a locksmith or something could get into the car if need be. I mean, there are like some possible paths here where, you know, oh, we need to park something here when you're on vacation, or something needs to go in the spot, or we need to work on something right here. So, you know, we're taking, you know, I suppose the structure does have some sort of rights with that, where it's like, we're not going to take your car, but if we need to move it, we can move it. And they get in there and they, you know, locksmith gets in, puts it in neutral. They move the car. They put it to the other spot. lock it back up for them.
But you would think they'd at least leave a note in the car. Sorry, yeah. We had to move your car because we had to work on something.
You would think.
Or there was an imminent threat of a pipe bursting or something stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Not just, hey, we're going to play hide and seek with your car while you're off in Hawaii.
Do you think that is what happened? The logical thing that I just said? Or do you think that there is something else paranormal there?
It's hard to know because I've never heard of them just randomly moving cars while people are on vacation.
Sure.
You know, I don't know.
It's a weird one.
That is very weird.
We've certainly had time slip type stories before. Where more than one person experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
More than one person saw like a house that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Or people or things of that nature. I guess it's just kind of along those lines where they all have this memory. But then it's completely different as to what reality is. It's a totally different take on it.
Yeah.
It's a new one.
It's a new one.
Don't get that very often.
Mm-mm.
So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share your real ghost story with us or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, we'd love to hear your real ghost story.
I have a funny that might be related to this, but probably not.
Okay.
But Livy told me that she and her dad went to the grocery store one time, mm-hmm. and they went out and they loaded the groceries into the car and drove off, realizing suddenly down the road, it wasn't their car.
Oh, God.
It was exactly like their car. But you know, with the clickers and then the fact that you don't have to put a key in, you just have to press the brake and hit the button.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had to go back and find their car. So
I mean, somebody just left their car unlocked and they assumed that.
No, the clicker worked.
On the other car?
On the other car.
Well, that's disturbing.
Well, and I've heard that happening, you know, I've heard that from a few people, even in some of our stories, that they accidentally get into somebody else's car.
Wow.
So, depending on how old this story is, there's mm-hmm. always that chance. And then they realize, oops, not our car. Let's go park it back at the parking garage.
Or somebody got so far out and they're like, shit, just put it back somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a possibility.
But yeah, he totally did that. And then Livy was like, this isn't our car.
How old was she? Was this recent?
It's in the last 2 or 3 years.
Oh my God. Wow. I get it. I mean, I've gone up to vehicles before. I've never gotten into them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've certainly pulled the handle. And then I look in there, I'm like, oh, that's not my car.
Yeah.
And then I look around me to make sure like nobody's like thinking I'm trying to steal a vehicle. Because that's what I go to right away is, oh, God, somebody's going to think I'm trying to steal something. And it's like, no, I'm just.
Just simply explain my car looks identical to this one.
Yeah. And then you should be good.
You should be.
And they're like, that's what all criminals say.
Right.
But wow. How far did they get?
Halfway home.
You know, if you keep your car, that's why I don't keep my car clean.
So you know it's your pigsty
wheels? I can identify it by the mess. Although right now it's very clean. So I could see that happening at this moment in time. But yeah, if you if it looks like it's off the lot and mm-hmm. it's super clean and there's nothing distinct about it to make it yours.
Yeah.
I could see that being easy to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that's a good one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I feel like I have to burp, but I can't. It's like it's like a coming and then it stops and I keep moving my head off mic.
Is it from your coffee? Does your coffee do that to you?
Make me burp? I don't think you.
Well, sometimes the acid and stuff will do things.
Carbonated soda does totally, but coffee not usually.
Because I know coffee will upset your stomach, so I didn't know mm-hmm. if it was part of that.
I don't have an upset stomach right now from that.
Don't drink the whole pot.
I'm not. I've already switched to water.
You felt like shit for 2 days when you drank that whole pot of coffee.
You're right, I did. I just had one cup, and I'm calling it good.
Okay.
So I'm back to drinking the delicious, pure water from the stream down the road. Tastes a little bit of koi in there.
Yeah.
Delicious. Our next story, it says, I've shared several paranormal stories in the past. The origins of my stories, I feel, started in a home I lived in a while, as a child to the age of 12. in the Chesapeake Bay. This home was most definitely haunted. I've seen things in this house I can't explain. Most look at me like I'm crazy when sharing my paranormal past. My earliest memories include faded-looking people with very dim neon lights through their bodies. Never felt threatened by beings. The one I remember best resembled my mother. Other memories include people only because I could feel their fingers grabbing my legs and pulling my arms in the middle of the night. When I would wake, nothing was there. I always had a creepy feeling of someone looking at me during the day and at night. Never felt completely safe on the upstairs floor. The upstairs consisted of two bedrooms and a bathroom in the middle. My brother was in the room next to mine. I'm not the only one with experiences in this house. My mother shared similar stories once we moved. My brother had a wall of glow stars as kids, and he told me a story of looking at the wall with stars and seeing a shadow walk in front of the glow stars. He was six. He's now 33 now, and I will not discuss the paranormal activity that happened to us in the past. Sleeping at a young age, 5 to 12, I would have a reoccurring dream of my mom or father shot in the abdomen, lying dead in the same spot on the floor. Also at the age of 10, I woke up in the middle of the night only to find I was not alone. There was a silky, stringy, black figure in the doorway of my bedroom. It disappeared when I developed the courage to get up and walk next to it, turn the lights on. I also had this short being which would haunt me every night. It would hang out at the end of my bed. I could only see the top of it by the end of my bed. Every night it was there until I was older. I became pissed off and tried to go face to face with this thing. It left that night, but I never saw it again. My question, when I got a little older, I helped my mother clean. One day I realized that every window and doorway had a penny on top of it. Every single one. My mother said they were there when we moved in, and she kept them thinking they were there for a good reason. Were the pennies there to ward off bad spirits? I've done some research, and the only thing I've come across that could possibly explain the pennies was from an old Celtic story. People would put pennies in doorways and windows to ward off spirits. Thoughts? Thanks for your input. I have so many questions that originate from living in this house for 10 years.
I almost wonder if the dreams where the parents are shot is something showing what has happened in the past.
In that house?
In that house, on that land, in that area, something's conveying a message, you know, and I don't know. I mean, as terrifying as that is, I don't know if it's meant to be a, here's what's going to happen to your parents, but more so, here's what happened to people that lived here before.
Almost like a download. Mm-hmm. We hear about that quite a bit where somebody experiences like a message or something, and it's not necessarily pertaining to like the future of their lives, but it's someone trying to tell their story and using that individual as the conduit for it. And it's not just a literal laid out, here's my story. It's exactly like that. It's just like, here's the data.
Yeah.
And you're just able to know, you have knowledge beyond what you otherwise would. Mm-hmm. I wonder.
Especially with so many different things, it seems like, being in that house. Mm-hmm. And I've not heard of the penny thing, but it wouldn't surprise me. So
I've heard of that. And I guess, you know, depending on the previous owners, I don't see any other logical reason why they would have done that, other than that. Mm-hmm. So it probably is a superstition type thing or whatever you want to call it, but that's very likely why they put it there. But it does probably point to that they were affected by something else in the house as well.
Do you know what? I never told you this, but our house in Wichita, when we bought it, I think the couple was just extremely religious, but they had a lot of crosses around that. In the house. Yeah. And I kind of worried about that a little bit.
Okay.
Because I was like, is it because they are religious, or is this a protection thing? Because like there was one over the front door. There was one over the master bed. There was one
everywhere.
And I was like, I wonder what we're getting into.
Really? But you went ahead.
It didn't feel like anything was there.
No.
And that's what I go with. I go with my gut on, does it feel like something is here or not?
Yeah. I can't say I felt anything in any of our houses, but I guess, I don't know, of all of them, that one really felt nothing.
Yeah.
As far as like anything like that. I don't know. I mean, it was just, that was a house where, you know, sometimes you get like some hesitation going into a dark room, just, you know. childhood, I guess, you know, those sort of things that come up to you. I had no hesitation whatsoever going into dark rooms in that house. I'm like, man, whatever. I don't know. I don't know why I was so, but I felt comfortable.
The last house, the Branson house, I did not like going in the basement at night.
No? Mm-mm. Why? Because it was such a big basement?
It's so big and it was so dark. And I don't think anything was there, but it just kind of, it was a creepy basement.
Yeah.
Even after we brightened it up and made it pretty, it still kind of had its own creepiness to it.
It was dark. It was like, no matter how much we tried to lighten it up, it still was dark. And it had windows everywhere. Well, I can tell you, when you had that, what was it? The bronchitis, the was it last year?
Yeah.
And I ended up sleeping down in that other bedroom down there, because you were coughing. And then I think I ended up sleeping down there too, because I was coughing. It's kind of like the coughing getaway.
There was like 3 weeks where you had to sleep in a different space because one of us had coughing fits constantly.
Yeah. I felt cozy in that room.
Yeah.
It was a room that we made. It didn't exist prior, but I did pretty much just stay in that room. I never had any weird feelings about it, but I get what you're saying. It was, I guess, somewhat cavernous. I mean, we had so many rooms that really didn't truly have outdoor windows down there. And I mean, it had its own feel to it. I love the house, but it had its own feel to it.
Yeah.
I think it was more psychological than it was anything else as far as the oddness or things of that nature. It was kind of, in some ways, like the Winchester house.
it just kept adding on to it.
It was our own mini Winchester, where we didn't necessarily add on like to the outside levels, but we added on, you know, on the inside. We would build walls and rooms and these giant open spaces. And it's like, what's next? And I think it could have gotten to that point. Let's go out that way with rooms.
Yeah. I'm glad we're not building walls anymore.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It wasn't. What did you not like about the wall building?
The way that the seams turned out.
Yeah.
How you could see them even after the texturing.
Yeah, we could have. I think I could do better next time, but it was my first time.
Well, sure. And it's a wall and it worked.
Yeah.
But it's not fun.
Yeah. Well, the new owners will be happy to find all the surprises we put into the walls.
Like the drill bit that's still stuck in the floor. Oh, my God.
Is the message Annabelle was here? Is that what we wrote on the back behind the fireplace? Is that?
No, you did like red rum.
Okay.
And Harper did like squirrel sharts or something like
okay.
that. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Kenny. This is Jill. I just tried to call before and I ended up getting disconnected. So I am just calling back to try to tell my story again. So anyway, an important part of this story is just to know that my dad passed away about 2.5 years ago in the house that I currently live in with my boyfriend and our son. So yesterday I was at work and I realized that my wallet was not in my purse. I was pretty sure I left it in my book bag from the night before at home, but I wanted to be sure before I started panicking and trying to think of where my wallet was. So I tried to call my boyfriend because he was at home and he didn't pick up. And I figured he might have fallen asleep because when I had talked to him maybe like a half hour prior to this, he had said he was tired and might take a nap. So I tried to call him again, hoping I could just wake him up and just figure out if my wallet was there so I could stop panicking. And I called him again. He didn't answer. I called him like 2 or 3 more times. He didn't answer. Finally, when I was calling, his phone picked up. And somebody answered, but it was this really, really breathy voice. It sounded like there was someone was speaking with only their breath. I can't think of how else to describe it. There was no sound to the voice. I almost thought maybe we just had a bad connection. So I'm just going, Michael, like, I can't hear you. Hello, like, you know, call me back. But then I started noticing that it sounded, I don't know, I just got a very strange vibe from it. Like, it wasn't him. So again, I'm trying to sit here and listen to what this breath is trying to say to me, and I couldn't make out anything. It's like this very inaudible speech. But every once in a while, it sounded like it was trying to make words. Well, eventually, the only part of this that I could make out in two words, I very distinctly heard it say, I love you very much. And that is the only part of the breathy talk that I understood, but it was very clear, very loud. And then it went, you know, very, very inaudible speech again. And then it kept repeating a phrase. And I again, I don't know what it said, but it kept repeating a phrase over and over again. And then the phone hung up. And I stood there for a minute thinking, oh my God, like, what was that? And I was, you know, if he would have been awake, he definitely would have called me back right away and said, hey, you know, we had a bad connection, I couldn't hear you, whatever. But he didn't. I tried to call him back, and it still just kept going to voicemail. And I'm starting to panic because I'm reflecting back to when my dad passed away. My sister, who was out in California, she actually had a dream, apparently as my dad, like probably the minute he died, of some voice coming to her and saying, I will never leave you. You are not alone. And then I had called her because she had no idea my dad even had a heart attack at this point. And I had called her, and she had already heard that voice come through like the minute before I called, in a dream. So I'm reflecting back on that thinking, oh my God, my boyfriend's dead. I mean, he's dead and he's trying to tell me, I mean, I'm going to worst case scenario, of course. So I called my grandma because I couldn't leave work, and I knew she was nearby, and I said, can you please go to my house and make sure Michael's alive? Which she did, and he was, thankfully. He was alive and well, but he said he was sleeping the whole time and nobody answered his phone. And I looked at his phone and the call did not pick up on his end. Like, it picked up on my end. It shows very clearly that I had a conversation with his phone, but it did not show up on his phone that we had a conversation. And I don't know how to explain that. The first thing I can really think of now that I know he's not dead is that it was my dad. My dad manipulates electricity a lot. Every kind of sign we get in that house, is always electrical. I don't know. My dad was an electrician. Maybe that's why, or maybe that's just the biggest way that spirits can communicate with us. But it's very clear to me that it had to have been him because, you know, I know that there's the possibility of it being maybe, you know, I know calls can sometimes intercept somebody else's conversation. I've had that happen before, but I'm 100% certain that this was not the case. And the fact that the only thing I heard of that conversation was, I love you very much. Just really made me feel like it was my dad. And, you know, if it wasn't, I'd rather believe that it was because, you know, what fun is it to believe that it's not? But anyway, that is my story. And I hope to hear it. I hope you guys like it. Have a wonderful day. And I am sure that I will call back soon with more of the crazy things that happened to us. Take care. Bye.
I'm betting that it is her dad. You know, especially since when she said he was an electrician, not that that necessarily has to do with phone lines or anything, but just his ability to manipulate electricity. I think that might be part of it as like, hey, this is me because I am messing with electrical stuff. That would have been me alive.
I think it makes sense. You would be, you know, you'd understand that sort of stuff. You would have knowledge of, well, how can I do this? How can I do that? Where others may not. I think it's an interesting thing when you're talking about ghosts and, you know, what they manipulate, what they can manipulate, what they can't manipulate. I think sometimes you have to look back onto, well, what was their skill set in life? And, you know, can they use those skills in death? Because sometimes I think we go to thinking, oh, there's superpowers or something like that. Whereas I think a lot of times we're still pretty much the same person.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we're on the other side. So it's interesting to hear someone kind of using that same skill set from the other side. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yes, I'm here to tell a story that happened to me about a couple of years ago when I was in high school. See, this story is a very weird story here, and I'm not really for sure if it's creepy, scary, or downright bizarre. Well, this is how it all began. You know how when you're in school, you know, you got to go to bed early on a Sunday night. And that's what I presumed to do. Go to bed Sunday night, work up for school on a Monday. I was in high school around this time when I remember this. And when I wake up the next day on Monday to get ready to go to school, I go to school, I get to school, and for some reason, it's Friday. And the students and the teachers are like, hey, yes, today is Friday. You know, tomorrow's the weekend. And I'm sitting here and I'm telling everyone that there's no way possible that today can be Friday. And everyone's like, yes, today is Friday. Today is Friday. Today is Friday. And I'm just baffled. Mind is blown. So my best friend, he comes and he's like, man, what's the problem? What's going on? And I'm like, yo, I can't recollect anything that happened this whole week. I recall going to sleep Sunday night, waking up for school on Monday. And I said, swear today is Monday. He was like, nah, man, today's Friday. You came to school all week. Everything was normal and nothing was out the ordinary. And it baffled me for a long time. So after it kind of went away and I kind of forgot about it, when I went out to trade school, it came back and I started asking people. I started doing research and bringing it back up and asking people. I asked so many people, but out of all the people I asked, only a handful of people have had this happen. And I'm not really for sure what it's called or what's the reasoning for this, but hopefully you guys can do some research. Maybe you know somebody that have had this happen to you or it has happened to you yourself. But thank you guys for listening to my story, and hopefully I get to come back with some more. All right, bye-bye.
So I guess my question was, did he skip ahead a week to Friday, or did he go back to the last Friday?
I didn't catch.
The way he sounded, it sounded like he skipped ahead a whole mm-hmm. week and went to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But it could either be a time slip or something. I hate to say it, something took over him and went about his life for a week, and that's why he has no memory of it.
That's an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one heck of a time slip. Suddenly you're just like a week ahead.
Yeah.
I can't say I have heard anything like that.
I would say the time slip would be more like you went back over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking, 2 days that you've lost versus, 4 days.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Interesting, very bizarre, but I think you might be onto something with the fact that there's just, it's like, boom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happens to, I'm not necessarily saying, possession or something like that, but where things happen and it's like no recollection of what was going on there.
Yeah.
And obviously there was no history of other, of any sort of mental problems or anything. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
As to how would that happen? Why would that happen? I don't know. That would be very troubling.
Mm-hmm.
It would really make you question your sanity of like, what is going on here?
And what did I do during this time period?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Maybe someone who is listening will have had a similar situation and can call in and share their take on it. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. If you like our show, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of the bonus material and advanced episodes, all of that there. You get the ebook, you get the audiobook, everything, $5. That's what supports this program. Do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.